If you have not great talents or gifts to bring, if you have not been blessed with a voice to sing, still you long to serve Jesus, your Lord and King, just do what you can where you are. From the acorn grows trees that are strong and tall, so a work that is mighty and blesses all. Oft begins from a labor unnoticed and small. Just do what you can where you are. Do what you can where you are. There's a job to be done where you are. To the Savior be true in the place given you. Do what you can where you are. Oh, our labor is judged not by man's acclaim. Our rewards are not based on success or fame. The criterion is faithfulness to His name. Just do what you can where you are. So then do what you can for the Lord, my friend, with the help of His blessing and grace, my friend. You will hear His well done at the journey's end. Just do what you can where you are. Do what you can where you are. There's a job to be done where you are. To the Savior be true in a place given you. Do what you can where you are. To the Savior be true in the place given you. Do what you can where you
Thank you, all of you, for being a part of our music ministry this morning. If you will, take your Bibles, Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37, we're going to pick up there. That's kind of where we were at 2 weeks ago. Took a little break for Easter last Sunday, and now we're going to be back in Psalm 37. Why do the righteous suffer while the wicked prosper? That's a question that we began looking at, as I said, 2 weeks ago. David wrote this under the inspiration of God, yes, but while using his years of experience, his age, everything that he had experienced in his life, and he wrote this, everything he had experienced, he could relate to. So what he's writing about, he could relate to all of this. It is relevant. We could say, I think we said this 2 weeks ago, he was there, he did that, he's got the t-shirt, okay? He knows what he's talking about here, so he tells us how to respond to this question. Why do the righteous suffer, and it seems the wicked seem to prosper? He told us first, place your trust in God's deliverance. This is a quick review from last time. So let's reread Psalm 37. Verses 1 and 2, again, that first point from 2 weeks ago, place your trust in God's deliverance. There it is. If you're taking notes, it'll be on the screen there for about 3 seconds. Then I'm going to start reading, and then it'll be gone. Verse 1 of Psalm 37, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So how should we respond when, I'll put this in air quotes, wicked people seem to prosper at our expense? That's even more difficult then. Through David's experiences, God is teaching us to trust in Him, not in the next election so we can reverse all this madness. Folks, we've been there, we've done that, and we've got the disappointments, don't we? Okay? Elections aren't going to fix things. Supreme Court justices aren't going to fix and reverse anything. We have to trust in Him. Maybe if we decide to start trusting in Him, then the next election will actually bring about a difference. Or the next Supreme Court justice will actually make a difference. And maybe some things will get reversed. But maybe God is saying, no, you all are putting your trust in the wrong things. I'm just going to let things stay as they are until you start trusting me. Then we'll start cleaning things up. I believe that's biblical. What does 2 Chronicles 7:14 say? You. Yes, I'm pointing my finger. You're not supposed to point fingers when you're preaching because that's like too direct. I'm pointing them, okay? I got three pointing back at me. Okay, here we go. You, God says, you get on your knees and repent. And then I'll heal your land. That's what we're wanting, right? So God is telling us through David's experiences, when it seems like the wicked, air quotes, are prospering at our expense, trust me. He's saying, just trust me. Look beyond the immediate injustices that we're facing. Man, we in America, we are so blessed because we really don't know what injustices are. Not really. Oh, we maybe experienced what we thought were injustices throughout last year, okay? But as I said last year, there are people in some countries who are willing to die to come here and worship in our freedom that we have with our little injustices, inconveniences. There are people today who risked their life to go to church in some parts of the world. Thankfully, not here in Taylorville. There are some people today, with all of the churches we have here, I can say this as a blanket statement. There are some people today in Taylorville who did not go to church because it was raining. I'm sorry. I have to do this. Wah. I just felt like doing that. We have to trust God. That's what God is telling us through David here. Trust Him. Look beyond those immediate injustices that we're facing, whether it's governmental injustice or circumstantial or even people injustices, maybe even, and we know this is true, maybe even people injustices within our own church family. Yeah, that happens. Look beyond that and trust Him. So if we are dwelling on what happened, we like to dwell, don't we? There's that hymn in the songbook we sing, dwelling in Beulah land, okay? Not in pity party land, which is where we like to dwell on injustices from last week, last month, last year, or even several years ago. And we still bring it up and rehash it in our minds. If we are redwelling on what happened, what was said, what the hurt was, what the snub was to us, we are rehashing, revocalizing it in our heads, and maybe even revocalizing it with other people, what negative consequences we endured because of that injustice, or that we still are enduring because of that injustice. We are not doing what God says we are to be doing. What is it? Trust Him. In other words, God's got this. We're going back over it all over in our mind again, and we're sharing it with someone. Look, do this for me, okay? And this will be a warning to you, because I'm going to be fired up to do this week. If someone starts rehashing to you something that happened in the past, okay? So if you do this to me, this is what you're going to hear from me. It's based on the Bible, so it's biblical, okay? If someone does that to you, here's what I want you to say as soon as they're done. Why don't you trust God? And forget about it. God's got this. He's on it. He's telling us through David's experiences, just trust me, okay? So what does placing your trust in God, in his deliverance, look like? Because that was our first point. Trust God's deliverance. Here's what that looks like. Don't worry about the wicked. Don't be envious. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 37. God tells us three times in Psalm 37 to not get upset. Now, you won't see those words there. He doesn't say, don't get upset, don't get upset. He says something else. He says, fret not. The word fret, we considered that 2 weeks ago, has nothing to do with don't be afraid. It's not tied to fear. It means that we should not allow ourselves to get emotionally aroused or worked up over evildoers. Don't get all worked up over it. I wonder, do we do that? Trusting in God's deliverance means to not get emotionally worked up, okay? So, trusting in God's deliverance also means trust in God and do good. I want to emphasize that part. Do good. And we find that in Psalm 37:3. We won't go back and reread it. This is just review for us. Instead of getting emotionally worked up over evildoers and we sit in our corner and suck our thumb, I know I'm being a little dramatic here, okay, but sometimes we as adults can do that. But think, when we're doing that, what are we doing? Nothing else. We stop doing good. We can't do good because we're all focused on ourselves and this injustice. And we're all emotionally worked up over it. Boldly placing our confidence in him. He's got it. He's on it. And now I can do good. Just as Gary's saying here, do what you can where you are. Last year, there were some months we couldn't do what we used to be able to do. People were fretting. Biblical definition, emotionally worked up. Do what you can where you are. No matter what's going on, do what you can, okay? And that's where this verse is at. Do good. The third way that we trust in God's deliverance is take delight in the Lord. Psalm 37:4, I will reread part of that. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. So how do we trust in God's deliverance? This way is taking delight in the Lord. This is what it looks like. When our minds are emotionally worked up by these actions, whatever they are, we should make every effort to redirect our thoughts to the Lord and not get sucked into that abyss, that quicksand pit of being stuck thinking about and rehashing that thing all over again. You know how it is. It's sticky. We get in there and it's hard to get out, especially if we got someone to share it with, isn't it? Then we can rehash it again. Make every effort to redirect our thoughts to the Lord and the things of the Lord, and that coincides with Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Fourth way we trust in God's deliverance, commit everything you do to the Lord and just trust him. Just roll the problem on him and leave it there. When we start rehashing it, weeks, months, or even years later, we haven't left it with him. In fact, We think we've left it with him. Week later, month later, 6 months later, years later, we start rehashing it and re-sharing it to someone else. We haven't left it with him. What God calls that is bitterness. We're still rolling it through our minds. Have you ever given God reason to be bitter with you? Everyone just say, uh-huh, yep. Yeah, thank you. Some of you actually said it that way. That was good. Appreciate that. Is God ever bitter with us? No. Our sins, when we confess, he forgives. They're as far as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the deepest sea. He doesn't rehash them. He wasn't sitting up there yesterday thinking about what you did the week before and rehashing it with Michael. It's gone. Why isn't God doing that? Because God can't be bitter. Because God forgave. And when we are rehashing a past offense, even if we're not sharing it with someone, it's just in our mind. You know, we pull our little pet out and take them for a walk around our brain. God calls that bitterness. It doesn't matter what you call it or how you excuse it or rationalize it or justify it. God calls it bitterness. So we trust in the Lord. Now, what's the next thing that we are supposed to do? This is all brand new, folks. This is where we stopped 2 weeks ago. Rest in the Lord. Number two, rest in the Lord. Now we're going to go back to Psalm 37. Instead of being emotionally stirred up, okay, we should calmly rest. That word rest, it means, this will be hard, and you'll see how this is the opposite of emotionally stirred up. That word rest means to be silent, still, to be quiet and settle one's nerves, to be at peace. It is the opposite of fret. The absence of emotional distress, fretting. It's the ability to be quiet and relax and, going back to verse, I think it was 3 or 4, still be able to do good works. So we're not shut down in our homes, locked away with the blinds drawn, and we just can't function, but I'm calm, I'm at peace. Just keep the world away from me. Or how about this? Because this happens too. I'm at calm, I'm at peace, I'm in my pew just as long as they stay away from me. I can still function and do good just as long as they're not near me. Bitterness makes us think some of the most twisted things, folks. We should, it says, rest in the Lord, rest in the, here it is, confidence that God is going to deal with the wicked. He just said he was going to do that. God works according to his timetable, though, okay? Not ours. Therefore, we have to wait patiently for him to do as he deems best. Be at peace. David advises this for in God's time, the wicked will be brought down. So what does this look like? Look with me at chapter 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Fret not. There's that word fret again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. He's getting away with what he did. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now God brings in this concept of anger on our part. Is it possible to get angry at the air quotes, wicked. But we're good Christian people. We're the afflicted victim here. God says, cease from anger. Here's what this looks like, okay? If we're really doing this, number one, we're going to have the right attitude. The attitude of rest and peace can only happen if we are doing our first point that we just reviewed. That's why I wanted to review that with you this morning. If we're trusting in his deliverance, if we're doing those things we just went over, then we can have the right attitude. Focusing on God and his faithfulness instead of all the other stuff. Dwelling on these injustices, or, let's be honest, sometimes our own perceived injustices. We think we've been treated wrongly, and we may be wrong. I mean, you may be wrong. I'm not, because I'm right when I think I've been wrongly treated. No, not always. When we dwell on those, we can get angry, can't we? That is not, let me just throw this out there. Let me throw out Captain Obvious here. That is not a godly attitude to get angry over the fact we've been mistreated. So, okay, it's not a godly attitude. That's right. That's good theology. But now let's apply it. So I am not godly if I'm getting angry over an injustice. I am not a man of God. You are not a woman of God if you get angry over an injustice. He's saying, don't get angry. Go back to that first point. Dwell on the right things. At the end of verse 8, David tells us again to fret not. Don't get emotionally worked up, because, and this is why we should trust and rest, okay? Let's consider some of the reasons why we should trust and rest. Here's one. The evildoer will be condemned. Now look at verse 9 with me. It says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's pretty straightforward. Then in verse 10, we have the promise. For yet a little while, and then the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, they shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 12. Yes, we like this. The wicked plotteth against the just, gnasheth upon him with his teeth. But, verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Picture that. We're down here. I don't know. If you look at it from God's view, we're like little rats. No, mice running around, okay? All worried and fretting because, oh no, this here. And God's just looking at this here, and he's laughing. It's like, whatever. They think they're so bad and tough messing with my kids. I'm laughing at them. The Lord shall laugh at him. Why? Because God sees the day coming for the evildoer. Even though verse 14, it says, even the wicked, they've drawn out their sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation or lifestyle, godly living. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 14, it gives a picture, a poetic picture of the evildoer, what they're doing to the righteous, and it's getting pretty intense. In some parts of the world, it's been intense in some countries. in this part of the world, depending on which Christian you're talking to, you'd think it was as bad as North Korea here. Not even close. But it could get ramped up. Verse 14, if it does, by the way, let me just throw this out there to you. If it does, how many of you would still continue to come to church? It's where the rubber meets the road, right? Our faith is really tested. I shared this several weeks ago that someone had shared with me. A man from another country looking at America, you know, he recognized that America, we have a deep faith, but it's not been tested. It's not been tested. It's going to be tested. God's word just lays it out for us. We need Psalm 37. But look what it says there in verse 15. Their sword shall enter their heart. Their bow shall be broken. For the arms of the wicked, verse 17, shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. The upright, the blameless, those that aren't getting emotionally worked up are under the all-seeing eye of God. Remember 2 weeks ago I talked about the safety zone. When we're fretting, we step outside of God's safety zone. When we're in his safety zone, we're under his all-seeing eye. This is his will for us right here. He knows the days of the upright. God is aware of everything that happens in our lives, and he is watching over us. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume away. The wicked borroweth, payeth not again. That's probably a Dave Ramsey verse there. I'm sure he likes that one. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Let me just pause on that for a moment, okay? I know I kind of ha-ha about the first part of that, but look at the last part. The righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Even though they are what they are doing what they're doing. When we leave here, we see people on the street, our neighbors. We may not agree with what they're doing and the way they live. The righteous still show mercy. And how do they show mercy? They give. We still need to be willing to help. It's compassion. By the way, what is mercy anyway? Have you received God's mercy? Yes. Yes, when he saved you. Forgave your sins. That was mercy. Did you deserve it? No. Okay. So when we're talking about showing mercy, Captain Obvious here again. I think I'm liking that. Captain Obvious. Of course they don't deserve it. If we show mercy only to our friends who we like and are nice to us, that's not mercy. Mercy is when we give meet needs of those who don't deserve it. Verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The evildoers, God is promising here, the evildoers will be broken. The righteous, those that don't fret, are upheld by the Lord. It's one or the other, folks. We are one or the other. This righteous man, his steps are planned out by God. Look at me at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. David writing here. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread? The steps of a good man, it's talking about our life. Everyone has a life planned out for them by God, from beginning to end, the beginning point in time, everything that happens, including the time that it ends. It's already established while you're in your mother's womb. It was all planned out. There's not a thing you can do to change it. God makes no mistakes. Everything that He has planned in your life is better than what you think you wished you had. But do we trust? Psalm 37 just keeps taking us back to trust, trust, trust. Verse 26, talking about God, He is ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed. I'm sorry, it's talking about us. Again, it's going back to us, even though we are suffering injustices. We are ever merciful and lendeth, and our seed is blessed. We are kind. We are gracious. If you're going to help someone that has been unjust to you, what would that take on your part? Okay. Well, maybe count to 10, first of all, or a million, depending on what it was, before you can help them. But at some point, you're going to have to forgive them to truly help them, okay? And so what's being described for us here, this righteous person, he's merciful, he is gracious, he is forgiving. He is forgiving. Now, I once talked with an older gentleman, not from our church. Years ago, I talked with an older gentleman. We were talking about God is love. You know, God loves us, and we should love God and love people and love God's creation. And he just didn't care for that topic of love. He said, love, love, love. Everyone says they love, love, love. They say they love their cow. What does that mean? You know, I love my dog. We were also talking about loving our enemies. And Hitler had come up in that conversation and how I had said that God loves Hitler. Now, this older gentleman was from World War II era. He said, I hope he burns in hell. I understand the sentiment there, okay, because of what he did. As righteous, we should be kind, gracious, and forgiving. We're not dealing with Hitler in our life every day, are we? We're not dealing with a political leader called Osama bin Laden in our personal everyday life, okay? We're not dealing with a dictator. We have some government issues that we don't care for, but we can still function with our freedoms. And even if we lose them, we still wake up in the morning and God says it's still better for you to be here than in heaven, so get to work. We can still do that. But what is it we deal with every day? When it comes to injustices, these people around me, right? The person that said this about me, can't believe that. This isn't fair. Forgive is what a righteous person does. So God is saying that we need to rest in the Lord. When we're resting in the Lord, we are living with inner peace, okay? By remembering two simple truths, God will deal with the wicked and God will take care of us. Those two things. As Jesus taught us, we should not focus on the things of this life, but on God's kingdom. Remember Matthew 6:33? Remember, it doesn't matter. I'm just on a mission trip. Really? Whatever happens in this life, I'm just on a mission trip. My mission trip is going to end at some point, and I'm going home. And I, you know, I'll just say it because I think it can be supported biblically. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to think a whit about any of you all. Because I'm going to be surrounded by God's glory. I think that might be a little distracting, okay? I'm just guessing that I'll be a little distracted when I get there. And whatever you all did to me while I was here, whatever injustice, not even coming up on the radar of my mind. So why should I get so worked up on it or about it right now? Inconsequential, insignificant. It just doesn't matter. Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." Now, if the election didn't turn out the way you wanted it to last November, the morning after, well, it took more than the morning after to figure out who was president, but when it finally got resolved, did you drop to your knees and thank God for your new president? Be thankful in everything. So, we trust in the Lord's deliverance. We rest in the Lord. Here's the third thing. We only have five more points to go. Just kidding. Number three, it says, depart from evil. Okay, in consideration of these truths that we just looked for, we should turn away from evil and do good. All right? Remember Galatians 6:9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." When you faint, you stop doing something. Don't get weary. Don't stop doing what we're supposed to be doing. Psalm 37, verse 27, "Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore." Why? Because you will live forever. This is just a mission trip, okay? When all this is over with, we're going home. That's what I kept telling you. I shared with you my trip to Haiti before. That's what I kept telling myself those 2 weeks in Haiti. It's just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. I'll be going home. I'll be in a real bed that's not on a concrete floor, okay? A real bed like the one John and Jenna had where they were sleeping on that trip, okay? I'll have a hot shower and not cold water. I'll have Starbucks just a little bit longer. I'll have real coffee. Everything's going to be fine. And that's kind of the thought here. Don't get weary. Yes, it's an injustice. And when this is all over, let me cheer you up. When this injustice finally passes, there's going to be another one. Because that's the world that we live in right now. Don't get weary. Don't faint. Dwell forevermore. Folks, you are going to live forever. We have eternal life in heaven, right? Forget this place. We're going to heaven. Some of you sooner than others. And it has nothing to do with your age, by the way. It has everything to do with when God's already got it planned. Our life here on earth, folks, this is what we're dealing with. If we are abiding in Christ and walking in Christ, our life on earth will be abundant regardless of the circumstances because God promises that. You will live forever and also because God loves justice and will protect his people. Do you love justice? I do. When someone's getting what they deserve, that's justice, okay? I'm also thankful that God loves mercy. I didn't get what I deserved. He still saved me. But there is that point of time when mercy ends and God's justice will be served. Psalm 37, verse 28, "For the Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Think of it. The evildoer, the wicked, the unsaved is going through the same life we are, okay? But they're going through this same life unprotected. They don't have the protection of God that we have. The stuff that we experience, they're experiencing the consequences of sin in their lives as well, just like we are. But they're unprotected. And the end of their life is the lake of fire. So if these next two verses, see if these next two verses describe you. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. His tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I don't know if I could say that was me last year with some of the crazy stuff that went on. I don't know, I hope, but I don't know if that would be me if suddenly things changed up here and they took our guns. My feet did not slide. See, the righteous gives wise counsel. That's what those two verses say. They give wise counsel. Let me challenge you with this thought. As you're trolling, surfing, studying, researching social media, whatever you describe your level of intensity on social media, and you come across people's posts that are like, wham, 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 wham. And then they said, wham, 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 wham. And then this reporter says, wham, 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 wham. And I can't believe that they came down with this ruling. Wham, 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 wham. Do you speak righteousness to that? Or do you give them a thumbs up when it's not godly? The righteous person gives wise counsel. I tell you what, if you want this message on Psalm 37, we will have it typed out word for word, and it's going to be many, many pages. We can send that electronic file to you, and then you can copy it and paste it onto that person's post. It'll take them 3 days to read your response to their wham. But a righteous person gives wise counsel. Do we do that on social media? And then we have this promise here in verse 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. We have to think past the injustices, okay? Think eternally past this life. When you get to heaven, it won't matter. And then you fill in the blank. I was talking with someone this past week. They were running down everything that's going to have to be fixed at their house. Okay, this is broke, and this is about to go, and this is making some weird noises, and boom, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. You know, when we get to, and you've been there, okay, you know what that's like. When we get to heaven, it won't matter. So let's not fret, get emotionally worked up. We have to think past these things. Think eternally. They, the injustices, the injusticers, okay, I just made up a word here, they will be judged. So don't turn away from righteousness. Stay true to the work that God has saved you to do. Love God's word. Hide it in your heart. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, it's using music there as a medium to teach people. And remember what I said before we sang that last song together? It's based on a verse. It needs to be based on God's word. That's truth, okay? Consider this. What is sharper than any two-edged sword? It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word of God. That is what changes people. And a lot of songs today are just based on emotions and feelings. They're not bad feelings. They're not bad emotions. but it's based on an emotional, and the person that wrote this song, and they're singing about their emotions, and in the end, there's been no scriptural truth presented. Like, great is thy faithfulness, okay? There's been no truth given, and that finds its way into teaching and preaching sometimes, too. When we teach, when we preach, it must be based on God's Word, focused on God's Word. It talks about in the New Testament that in the end times, people will heap to themselves with itching ears, okay? They're going to hear what makes them feel good. They're going to hear emotionally based stuff, whether it's in music and even in preaching. Teachers, and I'm saying this to myself, when we stand behind one of these or at a lectern or in a classroom and we are given the immense responsibility to teach, make sure we're teaching God's Word, not our emotions, not feelings. It's got to be based on God's Word. Whether you're up here on this platform or teaching or involved in any other type of group, make sure you're focusing and talking about God's Word and God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And folks, remember, God resists the proud, but he does give grace to the humble. Okay, number four, place your hope in the Lord's deliverance. Now here we are at the end, verse 34 through 40. Summarizes, we're not going to read all those verses, but it summarizes what we've been looking at. God will exalt you. Yes, you will see the wicked flourishing. The person getting away with what they did, perhaps. But we will see them cut off. So, walk faithfully. Walk in peace. Fret not yourself. There are two types of people in this world. Wicked and righteous. Yeah, that's it. The unsaved and the saved. There are no middle people. There are no hope so people or I think so people. My friend, you are either going to heaven or you're not. The saved get heaven. The unsaved get judgment. This is what God says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Yes, this is God. And the same God that seems to be reacting with this fury and vengeance right now is saying, I love you. Please, please accept my offer of forgiveness. But at some point, the pleas from the Holy Spirit stop, and then the judgment. I'm going to ask you all, if you would, bow your heads, please. God in heaven, Lord, I pray, if someone is here this morning, either here or listening through our live stream, they don't know you as their Savior, that they would stop thinking about it, stop being deluded, that stop relying on what they think, and that they would consider what you said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus, your son, you loved him. You loved us so much. You let him die on the cross for our penalty. And yet you are a just God. Folks that are here today, if they don't know you as their Savior, Lord, they need to. I pray your Spirit would speak to their hearts. Amen. Folks, would you?